You have a good shepherd who holds you tightly, speaks to you tenderly. You have a good shepherd who works tirelessly for you.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Dan, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we talk about sheep. Like sheep, we need a shepherd too, to help lead us and care for us in times of trouble. Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Dan, showing us that Jesus is your good shepherd. Thanks for listening.
Meet Shrek the Sheep. He is the most famous sheep in the world. Do you know Shrek the Sheep? Anybody? Maybe one or two out there. Shrek the Sheep is famous because he's one of 17,000 sheep on a sheep farm in New Zealand. But he's not just any ordinary sheep. You see, Shrek, he hated getting his hair cut, so he ran away from home. For 6 years, he left the sheep farm, and he wandered around the hills of New Zealand, going from cave to cave. He was lost. His owner didn't know where he was or where he had gone, until one day he was found. Shrek was gone for 6 years, and this breed of sheep, I don't know if all sheep are this way, they keep growing their fleece, and it goes and it grows and it grows and it grows. So stubborn was Shrek the sheep, they didn't even recognize him when they found him. The owner found him, and they finally brought him back to the sheep farm. They had to pull him because he had put 10 pounds of fleece on every single year. He was carrying 60 pounds of fleece by the time that they had found him. Incredible. Incredible stubbornness. Well, it came time for him to be sheared, and in the gentle hands of a shearer, he was taken off all of that fleece, and it was donated at auction for Children's Hospital, and donated all of that fleece. And to this day, he passed away, but he lived 17 years as a sheep, which is more than 10 years of the lifespan of a usual sheep. Because he was such a celebrity, they didn't slaughter him. So that's the good news about Shrek the sheep. And Jesus' favorite illustration, one of his favorite illustrations for us, is to refer to us as the sheep and him as the shepherd. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of a mild insult, isn't it? Sheep are stubborn. Sheep get lost. Sheep get hurt easily. They get scared easily. They're frightened. They're feeble. They can't defend themselves. Am I ringing any bells? Shepherd. Sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd, yes, and it's a mild insult, but I want to share with you today from God's word that when Jesus says that we are his sheep, that is not just a mild insult, that is the greatest compliment on earth. And it's not because of our sheepiness. It's because of the name that's put on us. So today, follow along with me. This is where we're going to go. Jesus, our good shepherd, he works tirelessly for you. He speaks tenderly to you, and he holds tightly to you, which makes you more courageous, more ready to take on the world, more ready to take on life, because you have a good shepherd that's given his life for you. Are you ready to go? First, we look into John chapter 10, starting at verse 22. It says here, "Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep.'" The time is winter. It's during the Feast of Dedication, it says. In our term, we recognize that as Hanukkah. It's winter, and they're celebrating a national holiday that went back 167 years about, back to the time of Judas Maccabeus, when he was a national hero for the Jews, and he took back the temple from the Seleucids so that they could have worship again. So a big national holiday. It's also called the Festival of what? Lights. And so there's lights all over in the homes. One candle lit for the family, another 8 candles for the rest of each festival day. So it's a celebration, a national celebration. Jesus is in Jerusalem during this time. He's walking in Solomon's Colonnade, which is where Jesus would gather, or in other people, everybody would gather during the winter time to get out of the elements in the temple court. And they would discuss, they would have Bible class, they would have teaching and discussion, they would share the events of the week, of the times, and they were there discussing this when a group of his fellow Jews come up to him, and they say, Jesus, you know, this is pretty far along in his ministry, he's been doing miracles, he's been preaching and teaching, and he's undeniably showing that he is God, and they come up to him, and they say, tell us in plain Hebrew, who are you? And Jesus says, are you kidding? I've told you this whole time. And if my words don't convince you, look at my work. Because actions speak louder than words. I am doing the work of the Father, and you're seeing it. And have you not tasted the wine? Maybe not. Maybe you haven't tasted that wine that I made out of water. Maybe you weren't there and you didn't taste the bread and the fish that I took from a boy's sack lunch and I fed three stadiums full of people on the hillside. Did you not see that? Or did you Jewish leaders not see John chapter 9? Did you not see that testimony of that man that was born blind that you brought before you? And you asked him, who healed you? And he said, the man who healed me, he had to have been from God. He was talking about me, Jesus said. But you don't see it, and you don't believe it, because, he says, you are not my sheep. You are not my sheep, and he says, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. He's not saying that God hasn't chosen you to be his sheep. What he's saying is that unbelief, what you've seen, what you've heard, you have rejected it. Therefore, you have removed yourself from my fold, and this is the saddest thing in our world today, too. A couple weeks ago, I ran into a friend that he and I have a common acquaintance that I haven't spoken to or seen for years, but I had in the past, my vicar year, shared the gospel with him. And I asked him how this friend was doing, and he said, he's still not coming to church. In fact, he's more against church and God than ever, and he doesn't believe in God, and he says, why should a God tell me how to behave? Why should a God tell me how to behave? That is a sheep that has removed himself from the fold. Because why? Unbelief is this. It's rejecting the one that is in your life because you don't want that one to have control in your life or leadership in your life. And so you've pushed him to the side and you said, I don't want to be part of that flock. Jesus is saying the same to you and me today. Maybe we're here in church on Sunday, but during the week, there's times in our life that we might be saying, I don't like it that my behavior would be determined by God who is looking over me and is my shepherd, and he tells me not to do this, and so I'm going to rebel, just like a sheep, right? Run off in your mindset, in the attitude in your marriage, in your relationships. Run off in your actions, in your uncontrolled behavior, because you don't want to be controlled by, led by, shepherded by God. And yet Jesus says this. He says, I have always gone to work for you. I have always been there for you, and it's not about control, it's about my love. It's about my presence in your life. Jesus' presence in his life, he says, I work tirelessly for you, and he was working tirelessly for his people then, and he's working tirelessly for his people now. He's in our life when the storms come up. Where was the shepherd on the boat? He was right in the middle of it all. He calmed the storm. Do not be afraid. Your shepherd is there. Not control, love. The shepherd is there because we sheep, we have lots of questions in our minds and we wonder about things that God hasn't told us specifically about. You know, it's not specifically told to us how to do this or go this way or that way. And we wondered ourselves, is God really there? And God says, Deuteronomy 29:29, your shepherd speaks to you. He works for you, and he says, I'm working out all things. The things that you should know, I let you know. The things that you don't need to know, you don't need to know. But I'm still your shepherd, and I'm still present in your life, working everything out. So number one, we like sheep, we go our own ways, but our shepherd still works tirelessly for you. And that doesn't mean that he's controlling you. That means that he's trying to guide you. Number two, your shepherd speaks tenderly to you. He speaks tenderly to you because he knows you. And he knows you more personally than you ever realized. My granny passed away a couple years ago into heaven. There's a picture of her, and maybe that was a Mother's Day picture even. She wore yellow off and on Mother's Day. Anyhow, I'm not going to talk about how great she was. That's for later. She would make for us kids. We lived far away from her and my grandpa. They lived in Minnesota. I grew up in Oklahoma. But what she would do is she would make tapes for us, cassette tapes, and she would record her voice. She would make recordings of nursery rhymes. She would sing for us, and then she would maybe do some Bible verses too. And she would put this tape together, and she would give it to us when we would see her, so that when we went home and we little kids went to bed, Mom, Dad would plop in the tape. And although the darkness was scary, and it is, even for me today, what did I hear? A familiar voice, and a voice that I knew, and she knew me, which made the darkness a little less scary. Do you get the connection with Jesus? He speaks to you, and his words are clear. And when you hear his words, you'll know it, because he knows you. He's given you something better than a recorded tape. He's given you his promises and his word. And it's here in his word that he says these things. To his disciples, when they were frightened and scared, he said, "Do not be afraid. I am here." He often said that, "I am present. Peace be with you," he said to them after his resurrection, because they were scared. And Jesus says the same to you and me, "Peace be with you, because I am with you." That when Jesus speaks to his disciples before he is beaten and crucified, a scary moment when he would go away from them, what did he say to them in the upper room? As he broke bread and he took the cup, he said, "This is my body. This is my blood given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." So every time that you and I come to the Lord's table, what's he doing? He's playing that tape again, and he's saying, "This is my voice. This is my forgiveness. This is my personal comfort in your life, that I am not leaving you, and I am your good shepherd, and you're forgiven." Forgiven. That word that he uses to know, he says, "I know them." This is how, I said before, this is how intimately he knows you. In the Greek, you know, we pastors, we get geeky on the Greek. In the Greek, this is the word to know that means to know personally. You know that I know LeBron James? I do. I know LeBron James because I watch ESPN, right? That's the other Greek word for to know, oida. But this is the other Greek word that means to know personally. And it means that you have a granny, that you have a mom, that you have a child that has grown up with you, that you know their habits, you know their weaknesses, you know they like to wander, and yet you know them and you love them nonetheless. Are you getting a picture of your good shepherd? He knows you personally. Know his voice, stay close to his voice, and keep your ears open for it, because he's there to guide you and to love you. Your Savior, your shepherd, he works tirelessly for you, he speaks tenderly to you, and finally, this point, starting in verse 28, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, he is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Do you see what the good shepherd has done for you? If you have any doubt that you shouldn't follow him, look at his hands. They have holes in them. And that means that you're healed. You have the best shepherd because he's given his life for you. Earlier in John, it says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And when Jesus died on the cross for you, he took away all of your sins, all of your doubts, all of the times that you wander from this day, in the past, today, and in the future. And he says, "The holes in my hands that I show you when I'm alive means that you can trust me because you're in good hands." hands that have died, hands that have served, hands that live today and work for you. He says, I and the Father are one, and this is one of those passages that we theologians call a sedis doctrinae. It means it's the verse that we say, Jesus is proving himself that he's God here, and he's saying it in clear language, and we know that he's saying it in clear language because at this point, the religious leaders, they're picking up stones, and they're about to stone him because he just committed a crime. He just committed blasphemy when Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Of course, the Father is greater than all, but then he puts himself on that same plane, and they're picking up stones to stone him, and ultimately, he would never deny it. In fact, he would put his life on it and he would die because he claimed to be God and he was and he is. But what we miss here is the context. Jesus holds you and me tightly, and that's what he's interested in communicating to us here as a good shepherd. He says this. He says, the Father and I aren't just one in essence, we're one in interest. Not just one in essence, we're one in interest because the Father never wants you to leave. He has you firmly in his hands, and I have you firmly in my hands too as your good shepherd. So if you ever doubt, and maybe you're coming here today or hearing this over the airwaves and you're doubting, am I falling away from Jesus? Am I falling away from that good shepherd? Jesus comes to you and he says, no. You listen, you believe. These words that I speak to you that I will never let you go, I'll never let you fall away. I have you firmly in my hands. My Father does too. You're endorsed not just by God the Father, but by his Son, and through the message of the Scripture that comes to you through the Holy Spirit. You won't fall away because he says, I am your good shepherd. You're in good hands. You have a good shepherd who holds you tightly, speaks to you tenderly. You have a good shepherd who works tirelessly for you. I said at the beginning that it's a mild insult, and it is, that he calls us sheep, right? But the greatest compliment is that he says, my sheep. And my sheep follow. So what's our response to all of this? Follow him. Follow him with all your whole heart. Some of you may have concerns at work that you're wondering about, and you're saying, my work situation is not good right now. And you know what I tell it to you? Jesus does care about your work situation. He's present in the boat during the storm, but he's also saying this, I care for you so much that there's something even more important I want for you, and that's for you to stay close to me. Follow. Just follow. You may have questions in life, like you don't know the answers to the very important things you want to know. Jesus says what? Follow. Because you're mine. You're mine. You're not the other shepherds. You know, other shepherds, you can tell how well they take care of their sheep because they get sick. The shepherd's lazy. Because they get lost. The shepherd's distracted. They're feeble and they're thin and they're malnourished because their shepherd doesn't look for good grass for them. Not your shepherd. Your shepherd works tirelessly for you, bringing you back to his word to feed you every single day. So run back to it. Your shepherd gives you pastors and ministries in your life to feed you God's word. So listen to them. Follow them. They're not perfect, but they're bringing you the shepherd's word. Your shepherd, your great good shepherd, brings you mothers. Mothers who work tirelessly to get up early on a Sunday morning and get their kids together and to bring them to church and to Sunday school because those mothers know that their children need a good shepherd that works tirelessly for their children, speaks tenderly to them, and holds them tightly. Mothers that pray and pray and pray for their children that are grown up. Jesus gives you, he gives you the most courageous life because it's not so much about your sheepiness, but it's about the one that leads you. The one that leads you has holes in his hands so that you are healed and so that you can follow him. So that you can know that all of your sin is forgiven and you can face your work, your school, your whatever it is that you're doing with confidence as a sheep, not feeble, but courageous and forgiven. because I am Jesus' little lamb. Ever glad at heart I am. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.